this doesn't exist. And God is dealing with people, and Jesus Christ said to us, look, I'm your Lord, you're just brethren. You get into these churches and they're structured, boy, you can't argue with so-and-so, everything else, and he might be dead wrong. I remember a minister there once got up and said, well, he said, I'm glad I didn't waste the time studying mathematics because it's useless. And I just thought, probably badly, but I thought, well, I reckon you're probably lucky too, because I don't think you could have understood it. But for people who can, it's very important, and I'm glad we've got engineers and physicists and all of those people out there, because mathematics is a wonderful study. But anyhow, without going into the story, which eventually Kathy and I had to leave the church, it was lies, put in corruption on. Money's a bad thing. I mean, an awful lot of these things, you can make an awful lot of money out of religion. And that corrupts things badly. So we left. And then we didn't join any church. I mean, you get pretty burned. And but eventually, in things which I won't take the time to go into, we joined the Churches of Christ in Toowoomba. And that sounded, I mean, I talked to a few people in the churches, and they said, oh, you could come and study the Bible a bit, Gordon, and everything, join our church. I said, well, I'd just like to ask you one question. If you sort of don't like people, do you mark them and disfellowship them and all of this nasty sort of stuff? They said, oh, no, but they said, you know, we've got to have unity in the church, and if somebody, I just don't really go to that sort of thing. And anyhow, Bruce Armstrong came to see me. How I got to know, I used to play tennis with a few other fellows, including Bruce. And then Kathy's grandmother went into their home. So I had, and Bruce said, oh no, look, we have a rule, no book but the Bible, no man but Christ, Christians only but not the only Christians. I'll buy that. That goes well. But when you get there, sometimes down the track you find, in fact, one of the ministers here, not Greg, told me, but that's what they tell you when you come into order, but when you've been here for a while, you realize it really isn't like that. There's a few changes. I mean, I got a disrupted one time. Somebody said, oh, look, don't read the Old Testament. And having been well versed in the Old Testament, especially at Ambassador College, I didn't go along with that. But that wasn't the thing that brought that to a head. One of the things that I really learned from the Church of Christ, apart from Greg coming there with Greg, I didn't agree with everything Greg did, but Greg understood that Greg was enthusiastic, first person to ever visit us, a real zeal for God, and I really appreciated that. But unfortunately, they didn't all appreciate Greg there, and that's his story. But we used to sing a hymn there. Now, the Worldwide Church of God taught that the Trinity is wrong, but God is a family. Jesus Christ is the God of the Old Testament. I mean, Herbert Armstrong used to get up, especially as he got older in the old days, he just had one sermon, and it all used to start. The Bible doesn't start in Genesis 1:1. It doesn't start in Psalm 23 either, by the way. It starts in John 1:1. And in the end, they had Jesus Christ as everything. He led the people of Israel out to the promised land. He gave the Ten Commandments. And the God was a family. What God the Father did in the end, if you work it out, was a bit difficult because Jesus Christ has taken over practically everything. But we used to sing this hymn in the Church of Christ by Charles Wesley. Mystery all, the immortal dies. Now, I'm not as smart, and certainly not a physicist on the level of Paul or anything, but I thought, This is nuts. I can't see you. But the feeling that was out of me, that's what I thought I believed. But I could see that what I thought I believed was nuts. How am I going to work this one out? And then I came across, we had a bit of a reunion of ex-graduates of Ambassador College here in Australia, the vast majority of whom are no longer with the church. And we had Charles Hunting, who was one of our senior teachers over there, and he was in Australia at the time, and he came to have the time with us. And so, and he was no longer associated with the church either. But I knew that he was doing something with Anthony Bassett, who was mutual friend of ours, Dave, who had seen that. And I said, Charles, what are you and Anthony up to? Oh, he said, we've got this thing, we don't believe in the Trinity, and we can show that the Trinity is wrong. I said, Charles, I said, that's fascinating, because in my feeling, in the Church of Christ, the one thing that kills understanding of the Trinity, once they've got that drummed into their head, you can't really talk about anything. And, well, that's an exaggeration, but he said, oh yeah, but he said, it's more than a Trinity. He said, Jesus Christ, see, Jesus Christ is just a man. He's not part of this thing. Now, Charles knew that I knew all of the things, because he taught a lot of them things. And, he said, I'll send you a book when I get back to the States. I'll send you a book. And that'll explain it all. And of course, immediately in my mind, John 1:1, how's he going to explain that? And he said, he'll explain the John 1:1 and the whole thing. And when I got that book, it was just the light shades went up. And suddenly things were intrinsically, I felt, I couldn't really explain, but it hadn't gone too much into it. I felt that that was an enormous eye-opener. And then, not long after that, we heard about the conference and we went over and thought, well, make acquaintance with Anthony, who'd also taught me over there. And that was just, and met a whole lot of other people and had seen things. And so, here we are. There's been no greater help to understanding than to understand these things. And it just shows you how stupid you can be that you'll believe something. The immortal guy that Atme says, one of the reasons I love reading books, including Greg's books, Atme's books, a lot of people's books. I'm not very good at writing things. I have to do quite a bit of it. If you ask Kathy, she has to correct me so that people can understand what I'm trying to say. I just love the way people can put them. A lot of the things Greg put in his book, etc. But Anthony had a thing. He said, this phrase of Charles Wesley, he said, that's not a mystery, that's an abusive language. And then immortal means you can't die. And so if words don't mean what they say, it's ridiculous. People say God can do anything, but he can't make two parallel lines cross. Because that's the definition of a parallel life. You're making language. So what I'd like to do now, because I've been giving it a lot of thought, and people have, as Paul said to us, there are many parts of the body. People have different talents. There's different things that people can do. But coming together as a group of people is such an exciting thing, because that's putting more parts of the body, like you're just this little tiny bit, and we can, so I really feel it can be helpful. That I've been in the Churches of Christ, I've been in the Worldwide Church of God, I've been with the Presbyterians, I've been with the Church of England, and there's a lot of good people. Look, I work with people, and I don't know how it is, we don't go out and drum people to come and see, it's in our business, they just come, I'm not too sure why they come, but they do. And I just noticed over the years, a very, very high proportion of Christian people who come to see us. And an awful lot of Roman Catholics. I go to, son went to a Roman Catholic school, and I go there and I know half the people. Clients of mine. And, half of the exaggeration, but that's the situation. And I'm just thinking of the witness. Now, we're different. I mean, Greg O'Toole, he is a fantastic speaker. Charles Hunting would be one of the greatest speakers I've ever known. Greg's also excellent. People have got talent. By the time I sit down, you'll think, don't kick him up again, therefore. I've got to pass on very quickly. But Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now that's a hard call, but that's what he said. He said, don't hide your light under a bushel. Churches, the world wide with churches, don't date when you're single. Girls that are not in the church, they might leave the Australian, everything like that. We're here to give a light to all of the world. I've got an example which may seem a bit strange, but years ago I was in the United States. I've been there much more recently, but in America they had, I don't know how it is now with the security and everything, but when you pull up, you don't get out of the car and drag your bags into a big building and queue up for ages. The port is there on the side, they grab your ports, they say, where's your ticket, sir? And, yes, you're checked in there, your bags are on, away you go. And a lot of people don't like those people because they expect a tip, obviously. And so people think, well, they're just out there to get money. I was going back and we had two of us together. We'd been on a job and we were delivering his car, and the other chap who was with me, he had his wife and kids there. I had my wife and kids. And he said, look, I'll take the car back, Gordon, and you check the bags on and get it organised. I said, okay, that'll be no problem. So I did this, and I had a heap of this, you know, the whole, his crew, my crew, and his porter took care of the whole thing. In the day, the going rate was about $1 a bag, and there are a lot of bags. The American money, I guess most of you've probably been there, but you've got to read the stuff. It's not like ours comes in different sizes, different colours. It's pretty hard to lift it. But over there, if you don't read it, you can make a mistake. But they're all the same size, all the same colour. I gave him a tip, $1 a bag, plus another $1 or so for extra good service. And we went up there and got into the room and met up. And the next thing this porter comes up, he's gone up into the TWA lounge, found out we would have known which one I was if he took the ticket, and got me there and said, sir, he said, that was a very generous tip you gave me, but it was probably a bit more generous than you meant it to be. In amongst all those single dollar bills, there was a 20. I said, well, I've got to admit with you, I'm sorry, that would have been a problem, and I've got to do my expenses for that. What happened to that extra money? And he said, tell us what these $2 for the $20 that he'd given me, and he said, go have a great day on America, have a great trip with TWA. And I thought, you start to get jaded. You start in these things to think everybody's against you. There's no good people out there. I wouldn't know what these beliefs were. But all I know is that really gives you a lift when people, I mean, there's no set price. You can give them anything you like. So he didn't have to say he overpaid me, but he just suspected that I'd made a mistake and that would cause me a problem. And a lot of work, you've got to go right there and find it. And I think we need to be meeting people. In every association we have with people, whether it's the waiter serving us at the table or people that we're looking after, we need to be as best we can trying to represent Jesus Christ. And that's our primary thing. We've got people amongst Frank Self, Greg, Paul, probably many others out there who've got great things. And if we as a group can help to get some of those things to other people, that would be a fantastic help. And I think there's lots of Christians in the church, even though a lot of their doctrines. Unfortunately, it seems to me that the churches have made up all these different doctrines. When you go to the Bible, you can't find them. So it's a problem, and it is a problem. But that doesn't mean to say most of the people in the churches don't understand it. I know I couldn't explain the Trinity, even though I've been to school and they taught it to me. I know I didn't, because I had a Jehovah's Witness once come and ask me to give an explanation. And Greg would have been ashamed of me. I really... He was very nice, actually. He was just embarrassed. Yeah. I've never heard anybody get this explained, even Greg. it's nuts. But anyhow, the... And that's not the only thing that's nuts. I mean, if you're going to the world, I started with looking at the creation. I've never lost that desire to know God, to know how it started. It's been a sad thing. I'm no longer a little boy. And we're still learning. And it's not that long ago that I even realized who God really was. But you listen, I heard just the other day a discussion on the radio going on between people who are, they call themselves scientists, but really there's two sort of sides of scientists. There's the science trying to find things out, a thing that Paul had on the thing there. They get that mixed up too. I mean, how many of the scientists are telling us that's the way it really is? But, and then there's science as a religion. The thing with the churches, worldwide church, all the churches I've been in, including the Church of God, they start to think they can tell you what you believe and everything else. And scientists are the same. They think we've got all this knowledge, therefore we can tell you. And they think that, oh, this whole world just came into being just like that. And if you leave it alone, it just gets it to be like this. I mean, you go and leave your house locked up for a couple of years and go up somewhere. Come back and see how much better it's got since you've been. I mean, I can't help it. It's no good arguing with them. Paul said it all. Because they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge, he gave them over to a reprobate mind. And they, and then they can't see it. Because what we're talking about, what I'm talking about, is God's given me this. I've had to work on it because, as it says, God, anyone who really seeks to find God will find him. And he's a reward. You've got to go to start with the thing that you know that God exists and God is. And then if you really want to, God will give you that information. But if you decide that he doesn't, he's just going to close up. Okay. See what happens. See how you get on. And professing themselves to be wise, and boy, how very good is that. I heard this fellow, I just was listening to Paul talking to somebody else a while ago, and he said, Isaac Newton, profound Christian, really understood much more than the churches or the Pope or anybody else, one of the greatest scientists of all time. And this fellow said, I don't think there can be any joint of religion and science. I mean, what do you mean? God made the world. God's the greatest scientist. One of the things I learned when I was there doing a course in mathematics, I had a very good mathematics lecturer at the university, and he was going through the way the whole numbering system works and the intricacy and the fact that, I don't know how many people have had the efficiency, you know, that what's known as real numbers and unreal numbers. Unreal ones are the ones that you can go on trying to calculate them forever and you can never work them out. All the basic fundamental constants are all unreal numbers. And I just went out of that lecture and I looked up at the stars and I said, God, unbelievable. Your mind is just so great. So we have, and I've seen in Greg's book, amongst other things, what's going to happen to other Christians who don't understand what we do? Now, we've all been deceived. I mean, boy, it's hard enough to believe we get all this out there. But I just get the impression that being a Christian isn't a test that you have to sit for, whether you've got all the doctrines underlined, because we're not going to get it. Even Paul, who seemed to know more about it than anybody else I've ever read about, he said he only saw through about that. And Jesus Christ said to him, he said, by your fruits you'll know them. You want to know whether a person's a Christian? Don't give him a form to sign off on and how much he understands. But has he got the Spirit? And Paul helped us a bit by giving us some of the ideas of the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no law. You find people exhibiting all of those things. You know where that's coming from. And I think we can see all the things around us. It's no good getting mad at the scientists and trying to get into a battle. Arguing with them is a waste of time. In the same way that arguing with people who are determined, they've been told they've got to believe in the Trinity, they've got to believe that Herbert Armstrong is the Apostle of God, they've got to believe that the worldwide church is the only church in the world, and if you leave that, you're destined to go to hell. Not that they quite believe that, but that you've got no future. When you hear that sort of thing, don't take any notice of it. There's other things to be there. And we take a bit of flack, you know, people get up and say, well, the Christians have caused all the problems, caused all the world, like war. I said to somebody, I said, look, don't take any notice of what people call themselves. How can anybody who's following a man who says, love your enemies, do good to those who are persecuted? No. How can that have caused the crusade? People went and did it. But don't bring Jesus Christ into all this. I bet he wasn't leading that whole thing. And there's still a problem there. And Jesus Christ, with God the Father, as it says in Psalm 110, verse 1, sit at my right hand until I make your enemy my your footstool. God is behind us. And when we go to other people, God has got a big say in this. We think, by constantly talking to somebody and trying to convince them, you'll never do it. That the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, he didn't know anything about that. But God said, look, this is what I want you to do. This person's really trying to find me and you can help. I've had a lot of help. Had a lot of help from Paul. I mean, when he says that Paul Herring, I mean, and he's a great crusader for one of the greatest evils that's going on in our society, the murder of children. Children. We can read how upset Christ gets when they were sacrificing them to foreign gods. And that's what we're doing to our children. And that is a problem with God. Yeah, I really am from Greg and with Frank. Wonderful person. It's just been wonderful to come and meet him and learn so many things. I'd just like to say briefly on the role of the church. Now, I've no doubt that the churches in the world have served the purpose. It's kept the Bible for us. It's meant that it's presented. And despite all the problems with what they're teaching, there are people who still demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit and come to faith. I must admit though, I got to a point, I've had a discussion with people, probably with Greg, who he knew very well. I said, well, what about the kingdom? And he said, he said, you're a pre-millennialist or an amillennialist. What's this? And, he said, well, I believe the kingdom's already here. I said, I said, what about that in Jeremiah where it says that the knowledge of God will fill the whole earth and everybody will say they know the Lord? How do you know? Everybody knows it. I don't see that. And what are all these guys who are obviously, a lot of them doing some very bad things, running the fact, got all sorts of titles like Prime Minister and Minister for this and that, and you see some of the things they do and you shake your head. I said, if this is the way it is, whatever his name was, well, there's no future. If this is as good as it gets, the Catholic Church, if you read the history, there's a lot, I just said, there's a lot of very good Christian people in the Catholic Church. And I don't want to offend them because it takes time. People don't suddenly grasp them like their churches are. That's a big trouble in the world wide spread. An awful lot of people in the world wide, because they are very good at reading the Bible and studying, have worked some of these things out. But the thing you've got to say, they had a few things wrong. They got Pentecost on the wrong day and a few others. This was a bit of an embarrassment. It took them a while to come to it. If they didn't even understand the Bible, there's no way in the world they were ever the true church. And that, of course, to some of them, is still a bit of an embarrassment. So this makes it harder for them to come to it. And obviously, maybe people, we shouldn't cut ourselves off from people, but I think we should work towards working with ourselves, because iron sharpens iron. You know, you don't learn a lot from talking to your kids, although they taught me quite a few things even when they were young. But when you're talking to people who've got more knowledge than you are, you don't want to be a parasite and all this stuff. That's fantastic. Always the same, because we've all got things that we can learn, and we can all support each other. And so I feel that there are ways. I haven't got time to go, I've thought of an awful lot of things about the whole thing, time to go into all of that. But I do think that we need to think. There is no such thing as the true church. I was in a church that sort of set up from the Churches of Christ, and I was still Church of Christ, and we had to sign up to the Trinity, which I wouldn't do. And a couple of the people came around to see me, and they said, well, what do you think of these councils, church councils? Yeah, they said, this is the big council of my school. Do you think that they've got the authority to do it? I said, no. Jesus Christ is the authority. He didn't say it. I don't want to know. And the key thing is that statement of Jesus Christ is that somebody asked his people, said, oh, Jesus Christ didn't teach any doctrine. He didn't teach an awful lot, but what he said was very, very true. And somebody said, what's the most important commandment? He didn't say, oh, boy, don't get into that. He gave him the straight answer. He said, behold, the Lord your God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. In other words, everything is dedicated towards loving God. Look at these great chances, you think about it. You say, God's one, but I'm part of it. You think I'm different, but I'm sort of it. And then that was his great chance to explain the whole thing, and we wouldn't have to worry, but he didn't. In the Lord's Prayer, he said, our Father, you can pray for me. I'm part of that. He said, you pray for your Father. And he's up there on the throne now as our intercessor. And the first thing he said is, thy kingdom come. That's the thing we're to ask God for. I don't know why they said, all in good of the tree or anti-millennials, I don't know. Greg would have it. I don't know which way it goes. I don't know why they don't get rid of the word Lord's Prayer, but that's all. And then it says the same thing in different words. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One of the things I learned when I was a teacher, often as helpless with a bit of a prophet, is that God isn't running this world at the present time. As Jesus Christ told us, he's done. Now it's the prince of this world cast out. Now when he's in a mess, we're promised that that'll happen. Why God has done it that way, I don't pretend to know. I've got some explanations, but I wouldn't get into that. But we're looking for that day when Jesus Christ returns. And I'd just like to finish by, as I said, I'm not the world's best writer, and other people do it better than me. And so I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to let King James have the final say, because where I start was looking out that little boy, looking out and seeing the wonder of God's creation. So I'm going to read the Psalm 8, very short. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heaven. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you might still be enemies of the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visitest him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and is crowning with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hand. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth.